wow, Drew, this movie, you are really in the market of scoring a lot of water cooler conversation, plus, my God, scary moments that people are going to be talking about.
Oh, thanks so much, Arrow. How are you today?
Doing very well. For you, I mean, you're Mr. Clean Cut, hey, very natural, everything like that, and you get it mixed involved in a movie like this? I mean, it was like, oh my God, he's really stretching this time.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, I guess I like to think that as an actor, we're able to find our way into whatever humans that we need to put their skin on for that day. So, and thankfully in this one, I think I am fairly close to Drew. There just happens to be wild circumstances swirling around Michael and Drew.
That movie poster itself, I mean, there had to have been a time somewhere along the line where you stood back going, I'm in something that's gonna become a classic.
Let's speak that into the world. I love that. Thank you so much. I'll tell you where I thought I was going to be in a film that was going to be a classic was when I read the script for the first time. I read the script and I said, this film has all of the qualities of a classic slasher. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, first of all, it's an actor's dream, right? Character-driven, relationship-driven. But then for the audience, and now seeing the final cut of it, the audience is getting to watch the journey of these humans through three-dimensional, deeply flawed, deeply fleshed-out characters, and is able to invest and want to know whether they survive and what their next step is and what they're going to do. Right. And I think that's what really makes it stick out in this genre, is that you care.
You know, what's really interesting, I'm glad you said that, because the one thing that I picked up on immediately was it's almost like this could happen in my town. These people are very real, and I can relate with them. And it's like, OK, this is, you know, you can tell a Hollywood, you know, made up story. But this one, you feel like, ooh, I can get into this.
For sure. And I think that was the goal of the team all along. And, you know, finding the cast that would bring that to life without a wink, right? I think it's very grounded work, and that's what makes it that much more frightening to me, right? I when I'm watching a horror film that I feel like this could happen, like you just said, this could happen here, this could happen right now, this could happen to anyone. That's what makes it scary, right? You go, oh, wow, that could be me.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, it's one of those movies where it's like, okay, you hear something in the other room, you're going, uh-oh. And you start, you know, seeing this movie play out in your imagination.
For sure. 100%.
So what is it like for you to have a movie that's going to be released globally? That just seems so, in this modern day, it's like, oh my God, you know, because usually it's just regionally, or if you're lucky, you might go right to streaming.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I have to say kudos to our whole team and to Vertical Entertainment for seeing the what this film could be and marketing it and distributing it in the way that they have and we have. It's, you know, we feel that this can be the next masked killer film that takes over, you know, fills the shoes of past horror film franchises. And that's, of course, the ultimate goal, to give audiences a journey that they can follow for the next, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years.
or if you're part of the Mad Max series, this thing's been going on for 4 or 5 decades, you know? It's like, I mean,
listen, man, speak it into existence, please.
What were the sets like? Because that always gets my imagination, because what we're getting on that screen, you guys really aren't seeing on that set, or are you?
It depends. I mean, our set deck team was absolutely incredible, but of course, right? It's movie magic. So really what's happening is that wherever the camera is pointing is the most essential spot and what needs to be the most realistic. Obviously, if you're capturing a full room, then that whole room needs to be set. Or if you're doing outdoor exterior shots, all of that needs to match. One interesting part was having to match season. So we shot a portion in the fall, and then the bulk of principal photography was in June or July. And so there was matching because the film takes place in the fall at Halloween, right? So there's like a bunch of matching. But to kind of loop back to your question, we had a hero house that the locations team found, and it was just stunning. It fits the vibe of the film. It's got a very New England. We shot in and around West Hartford, Connecticut, so it's got a very like New England vibe, and dare I say a horror vibe. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I lived in that world and in that house for so long. And then there was like there was a basement that had this incredible character to it, and there's a great stunt at the end of the film that I won't ruin that they had a perfect spot for in the house. So it was incredible.
Did you get to go into a focus group or into a special screening of it with real people just to watch how they reacted?
I did not. We did not. We went through the studio and distributor and all of our producing team and obviously some like confidants on the different drafts and iterations, but no focus groups or test groups.
Is that odd for a person that comes from a live stage? Because I mean, I would love to sit in a seat next to you, going, okay. I realize I don't want to know the end of the story yet, but how did that happen? How did you bring this together?
Meaning on the editing side or on the pre-production side?
Just the everything story. It's almost like sitting down with a rock star and all right, man, the first note of that song meant what to you, and where did that lyric come from?
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole thing's a journey, right? Yeah. You have the bones, the script, right? And you have your understanding of who the person is, what the circumstances are, what the environment and the other characters are doing, and how the story goes. And then you get to set, you get to rehearsals, and you're with the other actors and the director and all the other creatives and all the other moving pieces around you, and so much, and the set, so many elements inform and affect and bring to life all of the choices that you've made, and often change your choices, change your understanding, yep. your impulses. You have your work so prepared that then you show up on set, and whatever you're given, you're able to spontaneously, instinctually respond in the moment in those set of circumstances. And that's truly where the gold comes from.
Do you think that, it's only because my wife and I were talking about this, the way that Michael is, he won't commit to love. But the thing is that we both see every side of that. And it's like guys and girls will be drawn to Michael even more.
Yeah, well, isn't that funny, right? The bad boy that you can't lock down, right? Yeah, isn't that the age-old adage? when really it's just his, like, inability to understand how his emotions work, and like his inability to get unstuck from his own set of current circumstances. Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Like, I have a different life than Michael, right? I'm married, and I have a couple of young daughters, and we're very happy. But I also relate to Michael based on my experience in life, right? And about certain things that I experience in my career, experience in different businesses that I run, that feeling of like, of not being able to get over a hurdle, not being able to get unstuck from a certain way of thinking about something. And then of course I've experienced, as everyone has, moments in life where I feel like nothing is going right and I can't see the path forward and where I'm supposed to be going. So yeah, he's a very, for me, I read the script and I said, this isn't every man. This is a person that I understand, yeah, and I can put his skin on and bring him to life with ease. Obviously much work and research, but with ease from like my set of nervous system experiences.
How much of that live stage plays out in that? Because I mean, when you read that script and everything, I mean, when you're on that live stage, I mean, it is in the now. There's, you can't say stop, break, great, okay, we're going to reset this scene. We got to move forward here. I mean, there's, it's such a personality change, is it not? Live to recording a movie?
Well, it's interesting. I feel that the value, the abilities and skills that I've gained from being on a live stage only enhance my ability to execute on camera.
Yeah.
Because of what you just described, the now, the play will continue to move forward no matter what, without a second take, without being able to rewind, without being able to say, let's roll that back, right? So I think that going in with that mentality keeps you moving in any take on set, which moving through the discomfort, moving through a potential lapse in whatever's happening, forgetting a line, something not going the same, that's where things get interesting, right? And that's when the real gold like sifts to the top. So I think that although different mediums, I think they offer great nuances and sets of skills to one another.
That reminds me so much of why I love live radio, because I mean, you screw up, make fun of yourself, keep going, and then when I go in and I instruct these future broadcasters, you know, they want to start all over, and it's like, no, you can't. Don't teach yourself to start all over. It's not a good place to be. Enjoy that moment, like you say, in the now.
Yeah, for sure. And like, you know, there's plenty of stories of casting directors, you know, live in-room auditions, they're doing this thing and somebody messes up completely but just keeps going, and like that's the take they send to creatives and that's what books them. And you know, you never, that's when they see the real person thinking, trying to figure out what's going on and what's next. That's what we do on a daily basis. That's what we're doing right now. This is live. We're impromptu. We're pivoting every second. Everything you say, I'm thinking, figuring out how to respond. And like that, you know, we say on camera that the camera can see you think. So yeah, go ahead.
Last week, I was blessed with the opportunity to share a conversation with an intimacy coordinator, which I didn't know they even existed. And she very bluntly said that movies such as yours, you know, Bloodline Killer, you've got to have those on set, because each one of those actors, they need to find focus in acting. And every move that's made is, you know, has to be planned out. Did you have to go through one as well?
Yeah, so we 100% had to. Yeah, so there's intimacy coordinators on every set now. If it's a SAG union project, you must have an intimacy coordinator if there is content that requires an intimacy coordinator. We had an intimacy coordinator for the scene between myself and Montana. She's an incredible actor. She played my love interest, and we had a scene that required an intimacy coordinator, and it's just sort of a party. I think you just sort of described it perfectly. It's a party that's there to help protect the actors, to make them feel that, to talk through every single moment and movement that will be happening, to ensure that everyone is comfortable with whether it's touching, looking, speaking, sounds, whatever it is. And then to get to a place where everyone is comfortable and we can then sort of release ourselves from that to be able to live in that moment, but know that there are boundaries and guidelines in place to protect the other person in the scene.
Wow, that is so incredible. So the writing of this, did it charge you up in the way that, you know, because I mean, I know that you do animation and things, that are, but what about your writing skills? Or does it make you want to write?
Yes, I am constantly getting ideas and scripts and treatments out, and I have a few writing partners. And you know, it's writing is this unique challenge for me, mainly because of time. I'm a dad with two young kids. I have like 5 pets, and we're about to get 12 chickens. And I've got like 7 businesses, and I produce, and I've like a full time actor, and like in 9 different lanes of the industry. So it's just, there's a lot of time consumed, and then I like to work out, and then I also like to like hang out with my wife from time to time and my kids from time to time, and I'm a lacrosse coach. Anyway, so this all being said, I love to write, and like stories like this inspire me to write more and more and more. And, you know, I've got a few single location horror scripts. I love horror, and I've got some unique ideas in that lane. I love Westerns, so I've got a few treatments there. And then I love like dude comedies, right? I've got a couple of those that just kind of tell the story of my like college and post-college years. And then a lot of others, but yeah, I'm definitely inspired to write when I read scripts like this, Arrow. Thanks for asking.
Dude, I raised chickens up in Montana growing up. I mean,
no way.
I loved raising my chickens because you build such a relationship up with them. One of the things that that we did with them to make the eggshells harder is that you would give them spoiled milk. They love spoiled milk.
Interesting. You know, I raised chickens, ducks, and turkeys growing up, and I'd never done spoiled milk. We would give them their own eggshells for calcium.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then wow, that's great, man.
And then when we would go out and take care of the cattle, and before we would even get on that stack of hay, we'd throw a chicken up there because the chickens would find either a snake or a mouse before we did, and they would gobble that damn thing down so quickly, it was unbelievable.
Oh my gosh, I was just bailing out in Texas with my uncle, and I'm sorry, not Texas, Alaska. Yep. My wife's from Texas, my dad's whole family's from Alaska. I was just bailing out with them, and it was insane the number of bales that I pick up with like mice.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, I'm like, you poor things, man, get out. When you hear the sound, run to the woods, not to the bales.
So true. Well, dude, congratulations on this movie. I really want people to experience this because it is an experience movie, and it's going to be something that they're really going to embrace.
Thank you. You broke up a little bit there, but Bloodline Killer you were talking about?
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much. And I so appreciate your time today, and I'll give you a buzz when we come out and shoot a Western in Montana.
Absolutely, and sometime along the way, you've got to do some promoing for that game, too. And I didn't want to bring that game up because, you know, we can talk about that when the game comes out.
Hey, I am there. Why don't you put me on your Rolodex, and I would love to come back and chat. This was a pleasure.
Excellent. You'd be brilliant today, okay?
Thank you so much. You as well. Bye, Arrow.